the Family Ties event that we're having these next three Sundays. There's a lot of work that has been put into it, and I think it's going to be really outstanding. So it'll be the next three Sunday evenings, starting at 5 o'clock, January 15th, 22nd, and 29th. And you may have seen the promotion video that was on Facebook and on the internet, but I'll just give you a quick little recap of what's going to happen. The first week, this coming Sunday, Jeff Summers is going to share about how he's going to use a media presentation that's going to be really fun and interesting to show how much the American family has changed from the 1950s until now and how that's been portrayed in the media. So everything from kind of going back to the father knows best days up into modern family and how we see the family through pop culture. So that'll be really interesting. Second week, Monty Starks will lead us through what it looks like to lead as parents, to lead your children, but he'll really specifically focus in on fathers. What does it look like for fathers to lead their kids? So that'll be outstanding. And then the third week, Randy Pope and I will lead that time. I'll speak to what does it look like and the importance of, the critical nature of raising children in the context of a community and not in isolation. And then Randy will speak about some regrets that he and Carol have had as parents, and then best practices that they have learned over the years to pass on to other parents. And I'll just say that what Randy will be sharing that night, I've heard him share at the Envision Retreat and other areas or venues like that with young families, and it's outstanding, really, really good stuff. So that's kind of the content portion of it. We'll do a lot of fun things as well. Drew Warner and Rip Pruitt and Emilio Hood will be emceeing it and doing a lot of fun things. So here's my challenge to you guys. If you are in a place where you think, man, this would really benefit me personally and my family to come and hear these things and be a part of that, please sign up if you haven't already. We're out of room on childcare. It's been maxed out. But we are offering vouchers so that once you get your child care and pay for a babysitter, then we will reimburse you for that. So just know that we want to bless you in that way. But we do have a lot of room left for adults. I shouldn't say a lot. We have some room left for adults. So please sign up and then do this. Any family that you know that you think, man, this would be great, please invite them. Come and bring them with you. Something to leave you with that's encouraging. We did some digging and stats and whatnot of who signed up. And 23% of the people who are currently signed up for this to come for these 3 weeks are not currently members at Perimeter. So that's really encouraging to know that there are going to be a number of families here who are not a part of this church body so far, or maybe have never been here. So bring your neighbors, bring your friends. It's going to be a really good time. Thank you, brother.
I know for Randy and Carol, one of the great regrets that they have is that their son David is a Georgia Bulldog fan, so I guess you'll hear more about that. Yeah. Fritz Tempass, could you be any more orange tonight there, buddy? All right. Coming up January 24th, we have our quarterly presbytery meeting, which will be at Village Church. What's it called? Village East Side. Down in East Atlanta, that's where we're going to have it. And we're always want to offer an invitation to you all to come to that. And that'll be January 24th, starting at 9 a.m. There. So you're welcome to come, and we'd love to have you. At our last presbytery meeting, what we did is that we received Caleb Click into our presbytery as he transferred in from another presbytery, but he transferred in, and the process of what we do now is as he is at Perimeter Church, coming as an assistant pastor, a number of assistant pastors here at Perimeter Church, but coming as an assistant pastor, he will be installed tonight, and so that's part of what we're going to be doing tonight is to have an installation service you get to be a part of for Caleb. He's already been ordained. He's an ordained teaching elder in the PCA. But as when you transfer into another work, you go through an installation process. And so we're just excited to have Caleb be a part of our ministry and excited that he's here tonight. And I'm going to turn it over to Randy Schlichting, who will bring the word.
Thanks, brother. It's oh, you got the Book of Church Order up here. Are you going to leave that with me? The Book of Church Order? Oh my gosh.
Scary.
Don't lose my space.
Bob, you should know this by heart by now. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes, less probably 8 minutes or so. So it's not a long time in the Word, but I want to take you to the Word, just one text in the Word. But I want to say this before I start. It's no small thing. It is no small thing what's happening here tonight. It's a big thing. The fact that we're installing this man as an assistant pastor here at Perimeter Church, it's a huge thing. And I think in modern day culture, we're onto this thing. I got this thing going on that I'm having. This thing's happening, and then tomorrow morning, all these things are going on here. And we want you just to kind of rest in the pocket here, just for this whole thing will take less than 30 minutes. But to think it's a big thing in the life of our movement to install a man to be a pastor at a church. I asked my young brothers down here a couple minutes ago if they knew Jen Erso or Cassian Andor. Do those two names sound familiar to anybody here? Who are they? Jen Erso?
They're in the latest Star Wars movie.
Thank you. They're in the latest Star Wars movie. They are the heroes of the latest Star Wars movie. Jen Erso and Cassian Andor. They're the latest. And you know why? If you haven't seen, how many of you have not seen the movie? Oh, my gosh. You guys got to get out more often. Okay. So the idea in the movie basically is in the first movies that they made, they were dealing with the Death Star, trying to figure out how do we deal with the Death Star. And in one of those movies, they said something like this. They said they have the secret plan to destroy the Death Star. They got this plan. And someone says, I can't remember, Princess Leia, whoever says, this information, this ability to kill this Death Star came to us at great expense, at great cost. And when you see this film, which I recommend that you go and see it, you'll see why there was such a great cost, and these two people are heroes in the movie. And they brought the secret to destroying the Death Star out to be able to pass it along so that in the movie that you probably saw years and years ago, they actually end up destroying it. People came before them. People have come before us at great cost, for us to be here. And for our religion to be passed on from generation to generation to generation. So I just wrote this today. You know, Jesus came, and he laid hands on, he anointed John, the Apostle John, who then, and Randy mentioned him this last week in service, I think, Ignatius, his disciple, was the disciple of John. And Polycarp was too, and Irenaeus, and Hippolytus. And then Cyprian came, and they laid hands on him, and they sent him out. And then Athanasius came during that great time during the Nicene Creed. They're battling over doctrine. And then Patrick came, and they installed him. They laid hand, and they sent him to the Irish. And Columbo came, and they sent him to the Scots. And then Willibrord and Boniface and Cyril and Anselm and Peter Waldo and Francis and Wycliffe and Huss. And they burned him at the stake. And then Luther came along and said, something's wrong here. And they laid all those men, had someone before them said, you are qualified to interpret the scriptures and to tell us the meaning of the scriptures. And you go forth now and you spread the good news. That's your charge. Ruling elders have a charge for teaching elders. It's to break open the word week after week after week and administer the sacraments over and over again. And Luther and Calvin and Knox and John Owen came and John Bunyan and Wesley in the 1700s and Whitfield and Edwards. And then Spurgeon came along and Adoniram Judson came along. In this century, Bonhoeffer and Moody. And dare I say, Frank Barker came. And Jim Baird came. And Randy Pope came. Man after man have come before you. And their hands were laid on the next generation to come to say, the power of God rest upon you. And it's important. So tonight what I want to do for us as a group before he charges him as a group is take us one short verse, Hebrews chapter 12. You all know it, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want to encourage you, you're part of a movement. You're part of the movement of Christ. I know in the busyness of the day and all the things going on out there, it's easy to kind of lose that. But there is this long chain that goes all the way back to our Lord Jesus Christ, man after man coming after, all the way down to this very moment where we will install him as a pastor. And there'll be another one, and there'll be another one, and there'll be another one. So I want to encourage all of us, think again. You were all ordained. You were all installed. We'd love for you, as this is happening tonight, installation, just to reflect on that and ask yourself this question. Have I thrown off? Am I throwing off what encumbers and entangles? Really? Now, at 9 o'clock, I have to ask myself that question in the morning, and again at 10 o'clock, and again at 11 o'clock, and again at 12 o'clock. So just to say, but I want to. Throw off what so easily entangles, the sin and what is encumbering you again and again and again. And ask the Spirit to reveal it to you again and again and again, individually and collectively, that we as a group might go forward for the next generation of ruling elders and teaching elders that come here. And then the last thing I just want to say is this. I just want to rekindle your hope that the Lord God is building the church. And we are so excited to see young guys coming here who are ready, who have been equipped, who have been trained to go on and take the next generation and go forward. Let's pray. God, we're mindful. We're mindful of your goodness and your good work and our lineage, our heritage, who we are as men of God. All of us would say there are days when we don't do it very well and we lose our identity somewhere along the way, but not tonight. Tonight we're remembering from whence we came. We have a long line of people who have gone before us, a cloud of witnesses now. And we are part of that. And because of that, we ask that you would seal this time for Caleb and for us also, that we would believe the good news of the gospel and we would actively throw off whatever is encumbering us, that we may run with perseverance. And we might do the work that you would call us to do here as a church. We believe that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Caleb, I'm going to have you come on up here and stand here. And he has, as I mentioned to you all, he has already been ordained. We have laid hands on him. But as he's installed tonight, we do have a few questions to ask you, and also we'll ask you all as you represent the congregation of Perimeter Church. And so if I'll ask you these questions, if you'll answer in the affirmative. Caleb, are you now willing to take charge of this congregation as their assistant pastor, agreeable to your declaration and accepting its call? Are you? Do you conscientiously believe and declare, as far as you know, your own heart, that in taking upon you this charge, you are influenced by a sincere desire to promote the glory of God and the good of the church? And do you solemnly promise that by the assistance of the grace of God, you will endeavor faithfully to discharge all the duties of an assistant pastor of this congregation and will be careful to maintain a deportment in all respects, becoming a minister of the gospel of Christ, agreeable to your ordination engagements? Do you? To you all, as representing the congregation at Perimeter Church, do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive Caleb Click, whom you have called to be your assistant pastor? If you would raise your hand in affirmance. Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love and to submit to him in the due exercise of discipline? If you raise your hand. Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification? Raise your hand. And last question, do you engage to continue to him while he is your assistant pastor that competent worldly maintenance, which you have promised? That means you pay him. And to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you. Do you? Raise your hand. God bless you. I'm going to let you sit down here, brother, and Ryan Brown will now bring a charge for you.
I've got one. Thank you, though. Yeah, I'm all set. Well, I get to give like a personal sermon. This is neat, isn't it? The charge is sending him into this ministry. It is a good word to send him out. And Caleb, you know that I'm not coming to you with years and years of pastoral experience and wisdom. But I'm coming to you as a brother, and I'm coming with the word of God. And I hope this is an encouragement, a challenge to you and to all of us as we hear these words. A lot of this is our calling as leaders of this church as well. So it comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So this talks about who you are, and it talks about your teaching. Ministries you have here. It says to show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. People are supposed to look at you to see what it looks like to live a godly life. It reminds me of a jigsaw puzzle, like one of those of a beautiful scene of the sunset over the beach, something like that. What is the most important part of a jigsaw puzzle? In my opinion, it's the box. Because I'm getting nowhere without the box. And in some sense, this is saying you as a model of good works, it's kind of like saying you're like the box. As we're trying to put the pieces together, what does it look like to live a godly life? Look to someone. This is a call to you to be what people can look to see what a godly life looks like. Now, that's a big enough calling in and of itself. But it talks about your teaching as well. It says that your teaching should show integrity, that you are true to the Word of God, that you hold fast to it, and that your teaching is the teaching of the Word, not just another opinion. We need the Word of God. It says your teaching is supposed to show dignity, that you're a respectable person, that people, when they hear you teach, they feel safe with you, they feel challenged by you. It means that you rightly honor the Lord that you're proclaiming, and you rightly honor your hearers. It says that you are to have sound speech that can't be condemned. One of the themes of Titus, the book of Titus, is sound doctrine. You're to be theologically accurate. You're to know the Word of God, the whole canon of Scripture as you bring it to us. It says that your sound doctrine cannot be condemned as you stick to the truth. You're speaking in places where opponents hear you. It says sound doctrine that opponents would not be able to condemn. That means that the lost world hears you, both as you're preaching from the stage here and as you're preaching in the little areas of your life where God puts you in the lives of unbelievers. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. It's really interesting. It says you are to have sound speech that cannot be condemned so that our opponents won't speak evil about us. So in a sense, you represent us to a lost world. Your words, your teaching proclaims the truth of God with dignity, with respect, in such a way that even when they want to speak evil against us, they'll be put to shame because they know they're standing against the truth whenever they speak up. If you're feeling like me right now, it's like, yes, that's the man I want to be. At the same time, it's like, oh dear, really? Is this what I'm supposed to be? We know our hearts. We know what God calls us to be, and we feel that gap a lot of times. Verses 11 and 12 are the foundation of all of this. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, He showed up, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Your whole ministry, your whole life, everything that you're doing rests on the foundation of the gospel. And you've got to rest in the gospel also. The grace of God appeared. It brought you salvation. And everybody that hears your words and comes to faith, it's because he appeared. It is his work. Rest in his work. He has trained you. He is purifying you. And everybody that you that hears you, he is training and he is purifying you, purifying them. All of your knowledge, your capacity to think, your ability, your giftedness to speak, all of that is God's training of you to be his mouthpiece here. He's the one who's doing the work through you. Rest in the power of his word. Lastly, his grace appeared. His beautiful, captivating, breathtaking grace showed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, you're like the box. But when you look at the sunset on the box and the jigsaw puzzle, it's great to get it figured out. But when you have your feet in the sand and you're looking up and you see the sunrise, that's what takes your breath away. The jigsaw puzzle's nice. The box is helpful. But Jesus, we want to see Jesus. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's your call. Run as hard as you can after Jesus. Point us to Jesus. Let your life, let your teaching, let your calling, let all that you are point people to Jesus. I'd like to pray, and then Randy, I'd like to invite you up to pray as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our dear brother Caleb. I thank you for his gifting. I thank you for his calling. I thank you that you are the one who works by the gospel of your grace, and you have chosen him for this moment in time, this place in history, to make your gospel known through this church. We love you, Lord. We thank you for him. We pray in Jesus' name.
And Father, we do pray for Caleb, and we ask you that you would mark this man with unusual grace to carry a ministry for a lifetime. We pray that he would start well at this place. That wherever you take him, if you would keep him here years, how thrilled. But we want him in your kingdom wherever he is best suited. But through those many, many years, may he run hard and finish well. I pray, Father, that you would keep him very hopeful. You would keep him joyous. You would keep him humble. You would keep him a man after your own heart. So grant him all he needs. Pray for his wife, his children, as he'll have these twins coming soon to add to their one child already. We pray, Father, that you would grant them a glorious ride as a family together. May your kingdom come on this earth, even because of this life and the ministry you give him. So we commit him to you and thank you for him, and we pray in the great name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. Congrats, Caleb. We are really glad to have you here, Caleb. That's a really a especially gifted young man, as Jeff likewise. You know, what a treat that, you know, we got a deep bullpen here, you know, in terms, and I'm not talking about just preaching, I'm talking about leadership. I want to take just a couple of minutes share. We had a two-day retreat as an ELT, Executive Leadership Team. We had our retreat that we like to do before I go away, as I'll be gone for several weeks, leaving a week from Monday. And we try to get together so I can hear the rest of the ELT and say, what's on your heart? What's on your mind? I've been mulling things around. As I get close to this time, my engine starts running in a little different fashion, a little faster, and I began to think, you know, beyond just the week to week. And because this is the year it is, we are looking toward the launch now of the next 5 years. As some of you are new as elders here, but we take, and deacons, we take a five-year look, and we build out that 5 years as what we think we ought to be seeking to accomplish and so forth. It's a vision that we hope is God-given, and we think that means there should be a lot of time spent, me as the pastor of the church, away listening to the Lord, in a sense going to the mountain, praying. I will sit for hours with a pad on my lap and a pencil in my hand, and then I'll be praying and saying, Lord, regarding this area of our church and ministry, would you show us, give us an understanding? Are there things we're not thinking? Lord, what should it be? During that time, I want to make sure that I've heard from, you know, from our staff leadership, certainly. I met with the ELT and shared a little bit of this story and where we're going. And then we want to look to the long distance for the next 5 years. So this is an important time, and I hope as I'm gone, you would be praying. I'd love to know that there's a great host of you that are praying, saying, Lord, speak and let Randy listen. Let him hear clearly. Let him come back. I don't come back with the answer and say, here's what God says. We know better than that. But I would assume that much of what I am away listening and thinking and praying and whatever, that there's going to be much in that is from the Lord. And the way that's going to be determined is by the verification of others. And so I'll come back. And after we've had now this two-day retreat where we sit and listen and talk, and I share with them the things I'm already thinking, where I'm assuming we may be headed, and then get their feedback, go away. We'll come back and have a one-day retreat. And the one-day retreat for me to say, here it is. Here's what I'm sensing that we ought to be considering. They'll give much input that will be very much tweaked and changed in light of the inputs and counsel of many. And then I can come to the ELT, and then we can come and I can share with all, this is where we think we should be going over the next years. I'll say this. I've done this for 40 years divided by five, you know, eight times in a five-year gap, and year to year to year have been doing this, not with the same intensity with the weeks away together like I'm doing now. I used to take 1 week a quarter. But I'll say this. When we get a picture of where it is God wants us to go in the past, I've been just totally amazed. Shouldn't be, but I'm just amazed how God just has granted, you know, us to be able to see that picture fulfilled time and time again. And it appears as if we've been on course with what God would have us to be doing. And I don't want that to stop. I want us to keep going. So this is my time to invite you to be praying. I will say this. From what I sense already and what we're already thinking and talking about, we have every reason to believe that the greatest years of this church are yet ahead. There are huge challenges to us accomplishing what God will call us to. I don't care what he calls us to. There's going to be great, great challenges. And I can enumerate some that I can predict will be the great challenges. But in spite and in light of that, I'm telling you, I just sense that we have a great, great, great future ahead. I will be shocked if we don't come back with some of the things already being kind of thought about in my own mind and among the ELT. I will be surprised if we don't come back with some of the most exciting ideas for our future and where we're going to accomplish the same things we're always committed to. One thing that I'm going to press hard on, I'm going to keep doing it till I'm out of this place. I am going to fight and fight and fight to see if we can't find a way to be more and more effective at reaching lost people. I'm telling you, I'm amazed at the opposition that can come within the very heart. And when I say opposition, no one's against evangelism, but that's how just schedules and thinking and ideas can conflict with us being able to really do the things that are going to take us into really reaching a lost world. I don't think we're very effective at reaching a lost world. I wouldn't want to do a survey right now among us. I wouldn't want to do a survey of the church to find out how are we doing. I'm afraid it would be very discouraging. Because I think, and by the way, I can't show you the church that I'm really encouraged with that's doing a great job. So it's not that we're unique in that way. It's just tough. I just came back from 3 days, just flew in just a little while ago, for 3 days being away with the group that we met 28 years consecutively. Jim Baird and Frank Barker pulled together a group of young pastors. That was me 30 years ago. This is the first year they couldn't come. Both of them had to bail out because of age issues. And but we've been meeting and doing this thing year in and year out. And in doing so, I listen to the heart of these pastors. And Jim told me last year, he said, Randy, I'm not sure I can keep going. You got to take this now. You got to give leadership to this group. Last thing I ever wanted. I hated this year in comparison because I was the guy trying to lead the group. But I could take it where I wanted to take it. And I said, guys, we're going to talk about reaching lost people for the better part of the day. We're going to spend time talking about reaching lost people. It would have been discouraging to sit and listen to how these some very outstanding pastors in the PCA, and we would be considered way beyond what they can imagine. And I look at us and I go, Lord, I just don't get. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep figuring out. So we're going to try things, and I don't care how many times we fail. We'll throw it away when we fail. We're going to try something different. Then we'll go at it again. But get ready, because this year we'll come back with something to say, let's fight for the lost. Let's fight to reach the lost people. So I'm encouraged. I think you will be. We will be filling you in on more. You know, the schedule coming up now is going to be, we get back from that, and we're already into March at that point. We come to a summer that'll be over before we know it, and here we are in September, and that's when we celebrate our 40 years. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful occasion. I mean, I'm not on the team preparing it, but I was brought in at one point to kind of give my input, and I'm telling you, I think it'll be the largest, celebration we've probably ever had, and rightly so, you know, at 40 years. But I'm saying, as we talk about it, let's be excited and let's spend a little time, you know, really thrilled with what's happened in the past, but let's keep our focus on the future. Let's not be thinking, hey, look what's happened in the past. Let's celebrate that, and then let's move on. So right after we celebrate, I'm going to start doing the trips throughout the community. You know, I don't know how many times and how many places we'll do it, but we're going to cast vision for the next years. And so everybody now is not going to be just thinking, oh, look what we've had 40 years. We're going to be saying, look where we're going in the future. And hopefully that's going to thrill our people to see where we're going. And I want it to be over these next 5, 7, 10, I don't know how many years, as we walk through this transition of what's happening in my life with my age and where we're going, I want it just to be like, what difference does it make? Look where the church is going. Look what the church is doing. Look where it's, and man, I look at these young leaders and I look at where we got a great future. I'll say one other thing. we were talking about young leaders in our church, and so we just made a list, and I just wrote them down. I said, who are the great young leaders that we just have on our staff right now? And let me tell you, you see Caleb and you see Jeff, you don't see we had 20 names I wrote down of stars. I mean, young stars that we have being built up now to come in and just take over. So, man, I'll tell you what, I hope you can encourage the rest of the flock. When you're with your little families, 10 families, whatever, you let them know the best years are coming. If you ever hear anything about, well, what's going to happen the next years when Randy, you just say, it's going to be a lot better because we, you know, when I came, there was one leader. And we, you know, but let me tell you, you're going to have now so many, it's going to be exciting. So I hope you're encouraged with that, okay? Bob, you want to take it from here? I'll let you.
So encouraging to be one of those 20 on the list. I was, you know, you know what I was thinking about. Well, just I'll be brief here. So Jeff gets up. Jeff didn't grow up in our, you know, he's the first one up here. He didn't grow up in our church, but his wife Rachel did. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, here's Ryan giving a charge. And Ryan grew up in our ministry. And here's Caleb, you know. And I remember Caleb when he was in high school and growing up in our ministry. And I thought, how exciting this is just to see these folks. And Randy had, I don't know if he mentioned this. I can't remember. He may have mentioned it at one of our Vision retreats recently we had of just the numbers of people who were there, members of our church, who had grown up in the ministry of our church, now married, and I thought it was very cool. So, housekeeping. Who is cleaning up tonight? You should have a green star. Parish 5? Okay. You guys are? The orange team. Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and release the deacons. And elders, if all the elders, if you could, stay here. What about EMT? Do you all need to leave? Okay. So, EMT, you can go ahead and leave with the deacons as well. I need the rest of the elders, if you could just stay here, please, though. And I'm going to ask Brandon Huff if he'll come on up.
So the shepherding teams asked me to do another little demo. I did this a couple of months ago at the start of the ministry year on the ministry platform. So this time I'm not going to do it live from my phone. So go ahead and cue up that first slide. I'm going to do it from the PowerPoint. So we're going to focus on taking notes here. So this is your login screen. Same username and password as your login to get your discipleship materials, your giving history, stuff like that on my perimeter. Go ahead to the next slide. It takes you here to your flock. So this should be the group of people listed here that you're overseeing. You can see if you click the all button at the top, go ahead and hit the next slide. This gives you all the people in the congregation. If you want to search for somebody, you click in that search box. Go ahead, next slide. You can see I searched for myself. So if I want to open up the record, click the link there. This is the family record. Well, I wanted to point out something that I think is kind of critical on this page is in the middle there, you see area pastor and shepherd. If you ever see any crisis or anything, you pull up this app, grab the shepherd, and just let them know if they know about the issues going on there. Go ahead and next. So scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see there's a new note button there. Go ahead and hit that new note button. Here, you just choose what kind of interaction you had with the person. So hit that phone call button, and you'll get a list of options there. So go ahead and click that. I'm going to say that we're going to make this an email, and I put a little note in there that says, had a good conversation with them. Things are going great. I click that save note, and so after that, it'll take you to the notes page. I didn't copy that one, but I did want to also mention that if you are on this family page here, and you click on the individual's name, go ahead and do that. You get their individual information, their cell phone number, if you want to send them a text message. Their personal email address is all on this page. Oh, thank you. Oh, appreciate that. Yeah, appreciate it. Today is Ryan's birthday, Ryan Brown, who is speaking up here, so happy birthday to him, too. Go ahead and scroll down here, and you'll see here at the bottom all the stuff that I participate in. You'll see those who you shepherd, what they're participating in, too. At the bottom, you'll also see a button there that says to submit a data entry request. That's just if you say, oh, that's not Brandon's email anymore, he told me it's something else, you can submit an email on their behalf for that information. So I think, go ahead and go to the next one. I think that's it. So any questions? I see a hand here. Not yet. That's coming in the update. So that's a great question. You asked, could we search for first name? Not yet, but we do have a new version coming that's supposed to be done this summer so that we can use it to kick off the new ministry year next year. So, yes. Yes, contact data entry at perimeter.org, and we'll gladly send you a reset email. Otherwise, you can just go to the My Perimeter, just go to perimeter.org, click the login page at the top, and there's a password reset there that you can reset it from there. Yes. In the screens, there was like your flock, the flock, and then there was parish, and then all. So you could click that parish button and search within your parish. Yes. That password will be the same. So if you do reset that password, you'll have to know it for all that other stuff too. Is that what you're asking?
No, I was wondering if it's going to wipe out.
Oh, no, you shouldn't wipe anything out if you reset. Gotcha, yeah. No, that's okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Sure. Okay, great. That's good. I haven't heard that one, so thank you. Yep. Yes. If you go to just www.perimeter.org and then click the logon link at the top, under there you should have a forgot my password or something like that to reset it from there. Any other? Yes. Sure. Just send an email to the flock. That is coming in the next version. So, yep, stand by, and that'll be here. So, you can do that through Safari. If you're on an iPhone, and I think Android has a very similar feature, if you fill the information in, there's a passwords button right at the top of your keyboard that you can press, and you can say save this password, and it'll let you save that information there. Anybody else? Yes.
All right, so I get into the perimeter, I get into my login, I got my
discussion.
How do I get the one that goes to my shepherd group?
Your shepherd group? So what I just showed you up here, you mean? It's sure. Right. Unfortunately, it would be a separate website. So Danielle is going to send out the link and information tomorrow, but it's simply perimeter.org/shepherding. But she'll have that in an email tomorrow, a follow-up email tomorrow that'll you can click on and bookmark it. And oh, great. Oh, perfect. Okay. There you go. Thank you. I did not know that. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, Bob or Randy?
Yeah. I want to add one thing to what he's saying here. So this isn't about technology. I'm listening to Randy Pope, and you heard him say, hey, we want to be more missional. So as I'm listening here, here's our heart on this. Right now, if we look in our database, only about 8% of our members have been contacted. Now, maybe you've contacted more, but there's only 8% of our people have a note. So what we're trying to do is kind of encourage you as best we can to talk to your people, because we think if you talk to them and engage them at the heart level somehow with how they're doing, over time you'll be able to say, are you talking to your neighbors, meeting your neighbors, doing a dinner? Are you connecting a little bit? Are you inviting anybody? And that somehow the Spirit will use that in them and you to become more missional, and they'll form some groups, and we'll see some people come to faith. So it's part of, it's not like separate from, but the only way we know if you've talked to anybody at all, other than anecdotally, is if you do put the note in the system. Now, I have to say guilty here, I haven't done that very well, but I want to do better, I want to commit to that. So if you would please, make the calls, connect, put the note in the system, then we'll kind of know, oh, something's happening out there. That's just helpful to us. If there's some people I talk with, Who was it the other day? Some guy the other day, he said, I didn't get in touch with my person, couldn't get in touch with them, couldn't get in touch with them, couldn't get in touch with them. Let us know, and we'll come alongside you. Gene or someone will contact them. So we are all about trying to make the contact, but with the aim of forming Christ in them somehow by the gifts the Lord's given to you so that they might be missional, so that we all kind of work together so we see people come to faith. So that's the whole idea. So I just want to kind of broaden that out for you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm guilty as well. So, and by the way, I'll just let you know that this doesn't work. I tried Alexa, call my people, but she didn't do it. So it didn't work. So can't do that one. Are we all staying in here tonight? Parishes, Drew, are y'all in? What'd you say? Going to get married? Parish 5, y'all going to the chapel? Okay. So the rest of the parish is staying here, and I think after that, as far as I think we're going to prayer time among our parishes and stuff like that, we will be dismissed. Any other questions you have, anything that we need to answer? Okay, thank you all. That's it. Don't leave. You're with your parishes.